Suddenly the garage door was heard throughout the house, and all three of them turned toward the sound. "Frank!" Dania declared excitedly. Barry felt his stomach tumble. He really wanted to wake up from this bad dream before his father could see him. He shrank against the kitchen wall, but one of his wings knocked over a bunch of pens and notebooks from Dania's desk organizer. She turned back around and saw Barry's obvious apprehension. "It's okay, honey. I'll talk to him first, all right?" That was mild relief, compared to his father just walking in and gawking at him, but it was really only forestalling the inevitable, in Barry's mind. Dania didn't wait for his response anyway. She strode ahead into the den, where the garage connected to the house. Barry and Nick were left alone in the kitchen, and Barry avoided his little brother's eye. Everything happening seemed of utmost fascination to the 13-year-old, but Barry had no interest in being watched like a cringy internet video. The door to the garage opened cautiously, and Barry straightened, wings perking up like dog ears as he listened desperately for his parents' conversation.
"Thank you for coming right home, Frank," Dania said, kissing him. "What did you tell them at work?"
"Family emergency," came the concerned, calm voice of Barry's dad. "Where is he?" he asked in a quiet that wasn't intended to carry.
"In the kitchen," Dania answered, then lowered her voice too, but Barry could still hear. "He's really nervous for you to see him."
"I hope he doesn't think I'll be upset or anything," Frank said. "I just feel really blindsided."
"So does he, I think."
"I just had no idea. Why didn't you tell us this was even a possibility, Dane?" Frank's voice was still measured amidst his upset.
"I'm sorry, it just seems so unlikely," she repeated her answer to Barry. "Seriously, there's less than 10 in the whole world, I'm pretty sure."
"Whoa," Nick muttered under his breath. It was very like Nick to be impressed by someone doing something rare or unprecedented, but Barry could care less. It sounded to him as enjoyable as being among the rare few to get repeatedly struck by lightning. "And you're sure he can change back? We don't just have a daughter now, right?" Frank inquired further.
No, it's just when he's powered up," she assured him. "That certainly would make things much more complicated."
She paused and spoke very quietly, Barry having the strain to hear.
"And you won't react too much, right? He seems to think his life is over."
"No, of course," Frank reassured her. His voice smiled. "Come on, have you ever had to have me rein in my reactions before? If anything, I'm usually too reserved for you." She laughed softly. "You have a point." They were about to come in, Barry knew. He shuffled awkwardly in his high heels, totally unsure what to do with his body, wishing he could just hide it. But suddenly it was too late, even if he had known how to hide with a 3-foot wingspan, because they entered the kitchen. Dania gave him what was intended to be a reassuring smile. Frank saw Nick first and gave him a familiar smile, before his eyes fell on his older child. Barry could tell Frank had been preparing himself mentally for the last half hour for this moment, but his characteristic calm lack of fluster hiccuped at the sight of his firstborn. His eyes widened behind his glasses, and he took a literal step back. His gaze considered Barry with bewilderment, brow furrowed.
"Dad?"
Barry prodded in a very little and unfortunately feminine voice.
"Frank?"
Dania said, like this wasn't part of the deal. Frank came to himself and shook it off quickly.
"Hey, sport, how you holding up?"
"I've been better," Barry admitted.
"Well, it's a big change, but from what your mom says, it's all going to be just fine."
Barry was not convinced.
"You think it's really weird, don't you?"
he said flatly. Nick snorted.
No, Frank shook his head. "I was just surprised. You didn't look like I expected. But considering I've only known this was possible for less than an hour, I was really shooting in the dark with my expectations anyway."
"What did you expect?" Barry asked,
wanting to know but pretty sure he'd regret asking. Dania looked like she wasn't sure if she should let her husband answer.
"I was expecting less drastic changes, I think," Frank admitted. "More baz and address rather than—"
Barry waited with bated breath.
"A filled-out young lady with Barry's face," Frank finished uneasily.
"Right?" Nick burst out, like he was relieved that he wasn't the only one who'd noticed. "Like he's ready to be on the cover of the swimsuit issue of Dorks Illustrated!"
Barry balled up his fists, realizing his wings were moving agitatedly again. Dania and Frank exchanged an awkward look.
"Honey, could you at least change his outfit to make him a little more covered?" Frank's brow was furrowed again.
"First question I asked," Barry groused.
He folded his arms, but then seeing how it brought prominence to his two most obvious problems, he dropped them again quickly.
"Frank, I've told you that about my uniform. You can't change the default,"
Dania repeated for her husband with a touch of exasperation.
"It reflects things about the fairy and who she is in her current stage of life."
"Well, that's one thing for you. You're an adult," Frank reasoned. "He's just—"
He came up short.
"Wait, should I be calling him she? How does this work?"
Barry cringed hard.
"Oh, God, no. Please don't, Dad."
"Technically, it'd be more accurate," Nick said sagely.
"I think it depends on the glitter, baby," Dania said. "But it seems like Barry would much prefer we not change how we reference him, even his grape."
Grape? Frank asked skeptically.
It's his fairy name, like mine's Dayspark, Danny enthused. It just stuck a few minutes before you got here.
Frank made a little bit of a face, and Barry couldn't blame him. It was a really stupid name. All the same, though, it felt like an actual part of him, no matter how dumb, was being scorned by his dad.